Father, we're grateful for tonight. We ask and receive in our hearts your word. Your word is to us this evening information. Your word is to us this evening instruction. Your word is to us this evening direction. And your word is to us this evening caution, information, revelation in our hearts. We ask that every heart tonight will be instructed, who will find spiritual growth, will find spiritual development from your word, who find light shed upon our path, as clarity is given, our walk made much more better, our walk in your will and your word made much more precise, helped, made much more precise. And now it comes to us, starts from your word tonight. We ask that every opinion in our hearts be buried up by your word. We ask that every nuances, every conviction in your word, every conviction rather that is in our heart, your word will gain ascendancy over the same. We ask that this evening we will be well fed in revelation, in the knowledge of your Son. And as we see as if that the sees us in him. We ask that tonight your name will be glorified as the church is edified. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, and the whole church says, amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 15 is our text, looking at learning properly too. Hallelujah. Romans, book of Rome, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, rather, in chapter 15. Paul says in verse 4, it is for whatsoever things are written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures. When I have told you, patience and comfort refers to the same thing. Why does he say the comfort of the scriptures? Because the scriptures are the scriptures. Does the scriptures need comfort? Why does he say the comfort of the scriptures? I told you that is the comfort which the scriptures offer. Hallelujah. The patience, that is the comfort which the scriptures offer. It is we might have assurances. So the assurances in the scriptures is patience and comfort to us. Hallelujah. You have assurances, it's patience and comfort. And comfort definitely is another word used for patience. Patience, rather, is another word used for faithfulness. Hallelujah. Our faith walk is described as by Bible writers as patience. Hallelujah. So it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. Hallelujah. So we said last session that God, therefore, we have Bible teaching classes. We sometimes get into Bible texts in the bit to explain and stir up diligence to Bible texts. We say things like, the Bible writer did not have you in mind when he wrote. Are we together? Which is very important, which is true. I mean, Paul wasn't thinking about Kevin in Tanke in 2025 when he wrote. That would be funny. Are we together? So if we are reading from Paul's letters today, yeah, whatever I meant by scriptures there is not Paul's letter. I mean, Paul was writing, and Paul said what was written in scriptures. So Paul was referring to writings before his writings. Are we together? Definitely. When Paul wrote, are we together? Yeah, Paul was writing from his understanding of the Old Testament books. He must have written from his understanding of the scriptures. When you are reading from New Testament writers and you read the word scriptures, that's to show you that they had materials that they consulted from. What today we call the Old Testament books of the Bible, precisely the books of Genesis down to Malachi. Are we together? I told you 1,000 times already that Jesus never taught from the book of Matthew. That's just basic. Jesus never taught from Matthew. Amen. He never taught from Luke. He never taught from Mark. Jesus did not teach from the book of John. So when Luke says, for example, in Luke 24, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken,
ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then to 27, he says, and beginning, he says, from Moses and all the scriptures. He expanded unto them. Sorry, a beginning from Moses and the prophet. He says, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he expounded in all the scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, just from Matthew, you see Matthew is writing history, writing the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. And many times in writing about Jesus, Matthew is saying that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Oh, so they were a document of faith that preceded the New Testament books. Hallelujah. There's a document of faith that the New Testament writers sought to teach or to communicate the fulfillment of the same. The New Testament writers therefore taught, the New Testament's author therefore wrote to communicate the fulfillment and the significance of those materials that preceded their writings. Are we together? So Matthew is writing from a set of books and is informing us about the fulfillment of those books and also the significance of those books in our lives. Are we together? Are we together? Mark, I told you, Mark's gospel is simply Peter's account. I told you that. So Mark, amen, is writing to us to inform us about the fulfillment of the Old Testament books. That is, hey guys, the Old Testament books has been fulfilled. We saw it. This is our account. Eyewitness account. So Mark is writing to inform us, or to, you know, just permit me, you know, use the word us, yeah, but he's writing to inform his audience, you know, the fulfillment of the Old Testament books and also the significance of those books in our lives. That is, this is how the Old Testament books was fulfilled, and this is the significance of it in our lives. Are we together? I'm saying that also because I've given you a background of the fact that what today we call the Word of God is actually the Old Testament books. Are we there? Are we there? What today we call the Word of God. Yes, by extension, the four Gospels, the book of Acts, and the epistles from Romans to Revelation. Yep. But really, 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 you know, what today we call the Word of God, the source of the epistles. The source of the epistles, Paul's epistles, James' epistles, John's epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the book of Revelation, and who else wrote? The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who that is. Who else wrote? Jude also wrote. Oh, Peter also wrote. Are we together? So all of the epistles which we were seeing here, you know, the Old Testament books makes them to make sense. Without the Old Testament books, the epistles will be odd. Are we together? So when you see the word scriptures, the writers are referring to, you know, essentially the Old Testament books. So it is the comfort of the scriptures. Of the scriptures. So it is in verse 4, which you read, whatsoever things, it says, were written aforetime. Whatever things were written before now. Again, it talks about the same scriptures. It says they were written for our learning. So I said, even though the writers of these scriptures, Moses was the writer in scripture, Joshua also wrote, obviously. It's believed that Joshua must have concluded, you know, the last parts of the books of Moses. Are we together? Because Moses couldn't have said, and Moses died. Are we together? Are we together? And Moses, servant of the Lord, died. How? Amen. So it has to be an associate, you know, someone who had walked the journey, but not just someone who had walked the journey, someone with authority. Are we together? You must understand that witnessing an event does not give you the right to communicate it when it comes to the things of God. You have to have, you know, the authority. Jesus gave the authority to Peter, you know, so Peter had to be the chief speaker through the book of Acts. Not because he was the only one who witnessed Jesus. I mean, the remaining 11 guys, 10 guys were there. If I'm more than 10, he later saw two guys were now elected in Acts 1, you know, chosen in Acts 1. He says, which one should fill the office of Judas Iscariot? Is this Matthias? Is it the other one? And, you know, that shows you there were people who were renowned. And even outside those two guys, you also see the brothers of Jesus. Now you also see Jude. Are we together? You also see James. Amen? So they were guys. But yeah, Peter had authority. So authority, or you know, the right to do something has a long way. It goes a long way in God's kingdom, in the way God does things on the earth. Have you been given the authority to do it? Are we together? Are we together? Do you have the authority to do it? Do you have the privilege to do it? Something like that. So, the writer of books of Moses, chiefly, could not have had me in mind when he wrote. Are we together? And it's very clear, that's why the way he wrote, you know, mirrored the understanding of his audience. The way he wrote, the languages he used mirrored the understanding of the audience. You know, the fact that he even wrote in Hebrews shows that he was not writing to an English speaking audience. Are we together? So he couldn't even capture that there would be a language called English language. You know, so he wrote to his audience. Amen. He wrote to his audience. God raises a teacher for his generation. Are we together? And when that one does his work well, then the work of the other teachers for other generations will be much more efficient. But when he fails, it makes the work more difficult. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Alright, so Moses couldn't have had me in mind. Me? I don't know if he had you in mind, but he didn't have had me in mind when he wrote. He had Israel in mind. Amen? Amen? You know, he had Israel in mind, and by the time you look at his text, he kept on addressing the congregation of Israel. Oh, so he knew his audience. He addressed the 12 tribes over and over. He reminded them of what God had done. When Moses used the word "you" in his letters, he was referring to a people. Are we together? A definite audience that God had taken through the Exodus, amen, from Egypt through the Red Sea, and brought through the wilderness onto Canaan. Who else? Job, definitely. Moses wrote Job though. So in writing about Job, are we together? He definitely had me in mind. What's his name? David did not have me in mind when he wrote. Are we together? This is with Solomon when he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he wrote Proverbs, did not have me in mind. Are we together? Nehemiah, the scribe, Ezra also didn't have me in mind. They had the remnants of the captivity, you know, in mind, who went out to rebuild the temple. And they put those records down. Who else wrote? Jeremiah didn't have me in mind. Isaiah didn't have me in mind. Ezekiel didn't have me in mind. Daniel didn't have me in mind. Zechariah didn't have me in mind. Are we together? Habakkuk was told to write. Habakkuk didn't have me in mind. Write the vision. He didn't have me in mind. Jonah didn't have me in mind. Are we together? So the writers did not have you in mind, but hey, God had you in mind. Are we together? Are we together? God had you and I in mind when he instructed them to write. 2 Timothy 3:15, it is all scripture is given by inspiration of God in verse 16. 15, it is, and that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All scriptures are inspired by God. So God inspired people to put events down. Is it clear? God instructed people to put events down, and yeah, their mind might not have captured my world, my realities. Are we together? That is why Moses did not deal with transgender issues. Are we together? Are we together? Because Moses probably didn't think of a world where some people will come and say they identify as a cat. I mean, how, if you told Moses that, you know, he felt that he had enough issues at Canaan that Israel was going to meet. So he gave them the 662 laws that would capture everything that they were going to encounter at Canaan. If you had told Moses that, hey, that's not all, some people are going to come later and identify as a pencil, you're going to be like, what's this? So Moses didn't deal with that because he didn't have that issue in his world. Is it clear? Is it clear? You know, are we together? Alright. Now, Paul, in his words, did not have to deal with, projecting scriptures in 70s or not. He didn't have that issue in his world. I didn't say projecting scriptures is sin, but I mean he didn't have to give those guidelines because that was not in his world. He didn't have TV LED screens. Are we together? He didn't. So the authors addressed their words. But look at this. God has me in mind, and God's wisdom is present in their address for me today. For me today. And that's, one of the major things a Bible teacher needs to acknowledge, resolving that generational gap. How does a material of about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 relevant to me today? What's the relevance? I mean, the Bible looks outdated. The facts in it, the science of the Bible looks very outdated. Science in the Bible was written in a world where they felt that the earth was flat. Are we together? In fact, the Bible was written at the time when, if you had told somebody where do you think from, the person will point to his stomach. That you actually think from your stomach. They actually felt, the science of that word actually felt that people think from their stomach. You do the same today when you say, I feel as though you feel from here. And you understand what I'm saying? You say, I just felt it. Who tells you that you are feeling from here? Do you get it? So, you see the signs of the scripture, including when Joshua, performed the miracle, it was actually written there that Joshua stopped the sun. That was the science of that word. Definitely, you don't expect, and that, in a way shows you the authenticity of the material you are reading. It in turn shows you its authenticity. Are we together? That it wasn't fabricated. The wisdom, the scientific knowledge of that word is yet reflected in what you are reading. That shows the sincerity of the writers. He stopped the sun. Definitely, science has shown us today that the sun is fixated. It is the earth that moves around the sun. So what he stopped was not the sun. What he stopped was the earth. Are we together? But if you read the text, it says he stopped the sun. That's not, those that seek to be controversial on such subjects don't really have much work to do. Amen. So what I'm saying is that God has you in mind. So if he says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our, it means God wants me to find wisdom in the scriptures. It applies to me. There is wisdom for living in the scriptures. We have to settle that fact that you are not left alone to fish for insight in your world. No. God's wisdom that preceded your world is available for you to live in your world. Is it clear? God's wisdom is available for me to live in my world. We need to agree on that. So he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Another word for learning means development, it means growth. So spiritual growth is in the scriptures. What we call spiritual growth. And I told you, I mentioned a little bit on that the first week of October. Spiritual growth does not mean the growth of your spirit. The growth of your spirit. As say your spirit did not have teeth. Now your spirit now have teeth. Has, maybe your spirit starts with 2 canines up and down and the Jericho hair. Then your spirit has now grown, your hair now bushy in the spirit. You get an injury, I'll cut your hair for it. Praise God. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is you developing, in your walk with God, your spiritual walk with God. Your spiritual walk with God. Just basics. The spiritual growth. My spirit is growing. Your spirit does not grow. Is it clear? Your spirit is where God resides. Your spirit knows all things. Your spirit is strong. Your spirit is God's spirit in you. Spirit which you have received from God, which is yours. But you can grow in your spiritual walk. You can develop in your understanding and walk in the things of the Spirit. That is what we call spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So quickly,
In James chapter 1, which is our text, James 1, what have we said from James 1? In James 1, verse 22, he says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Can we take 23 together? Won't you go? "Well, if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, is likened unto a man behold his natural face in the glass." 24 rather. "If you let himself go in his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was." 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." That's a bad translation. Rearrange those words. What you have there is the law of perfect liberty. Are we together? The law of perfect liberty. "Whosoever looks into the law of perfect liberty." Now, when you're translating from one language to the other, you have to be careful. You can misarrange words. Are we together? But when you read in context, you yourself, just you yourself, when you read in context, no, it's the arrangement. So, "Well, whosoever look into the law of" what? The perfect liberty. The law of perfect liberty, because the liberty that he's talking about has to do with the new birth. Then he says, "He not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Are we together? James is not being patriarchal. He meant this woman also. So why is he this man? Are we together? "This believer," he says, "shall be blessed in..." Well, he says he's again. Sorry. His deed. Are we together? All right. Now look at something there. Do I have your attention? To start with, he says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." So we said the believer is born of the word, and this birth is God's will. He is born of the word, and this birth is the will of God. Now, give me a little bit of detail. If you look at verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. When the lust is conceived, bring forth sin. Sin, when it springs, bring it forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Can we take 17 together once to go? "Every good gift, every what? Whatever give is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light." Now, why did he say every good gift, every perfect gift? What is the gift? Are we together? You know, many times when we are happy, we just quote text anyhow because they're happy. Someone bought a car. Maybe, what kind of car now? Do we have folks in the house like cars? What kind of car now? What kind of car can you call give good gift from God? I don't know if you buy Volkswagen, you call it good gift from God. I don't know where it came from. But I'm not going to buy a used Volkswagen and call it a good gift from God. I'm just going to say, well, God's, trying me, and then God says my contentment, and he has given me this gift. Praise God. All right, what kind of car are you going to call good gifts from God? 20. Where are you from? This man actually said 2017. Wow. God stand at the back. Praise God. Who knows cars here? One of my younger sisters knows vehicles. Sarah, so good with cars. Who? Rolls Royce, what year? 2022 Rolls Royce. You've been fantasizing that car. Right. But don't let me mention my own. So I say, wow. Let me mention my own. You were telling me about a car the other day. What was the model of that car? Yeah. One was it. What was it again? Who rolls? Okay, Lamborghini. All right. You'll send me a car. I said, well, I said, amen. Praise God. So there's a Lamborghini. Now, when you see a car, a car is different. I mean, that's a car, though. You also have rides.
In Yoruba, they will say, this is moto. Then they say, this one is eshin. Those are two different things. Then they say, eshin to be. Say, ah. Are we together?
So let's say you have 2025 Toyota Land Cruiser.
You know?
And then someone just gave you. And then you say, wow. You look at the leather seat, you look at the info system, you look at the interior. Looks like heaven on earth and all that. And then he says, the Bible says every good and perfect gift. When you put it on Tanky Road,
and then you drive it for, I'm sorry people living on Tanky, sorry. You drive it for, or you put it, it's okay. You know, a lot of people can't catch me. I know worse roads, but I'll not mention them. Alright. When you put it on, you know, along your road and all that, then you drive to your destination and then the mechanic says, or the motorbike engineer, there are some cars you don't bring a mechanic. Mechanic? Automobile engineer. So the automobile engineer says, well, I'm sorry, we have to change this. Say, how much is this? And he said, it's 250,000. Yeah. I was in Abuja some weeks ago, and then I saw a vehicle. The vehicle. Someone now told me that the side mirror of the vehicle was in millions. Yes. I'm not even joking at all. I think the car is about 110. So he said the side mirror, just the side mirror, something that we could just touch and come in. Just the side mirror of the car. I'm looking at the car like this. The car is so short, and I'm like, ah. He said the side mirror is in millions. You know, I just stepped back. All right, it's not that when I went close that something now scratches. That. You say, are you a pastor? Please shut this mirror. Praise God. He said the side mirror was in millions. Now imagine you just probably someone just hook you on the road, someone drew roughly around you that smashed the side mirror. Those are the kind of cars that you want to paint, you want to bake it, and they are saying that making it is about 10 million now. What? Just leave it scratched for me. If my body is scratched, I'm asking for a new body. Are we together? You know? So, those are the kind of cars you go. So sometimes we use this text for something very beautiful in the natural. I've had someone use this text before for a new baby boy, a new child. Someone gives birth, you know, in the maternity. He says, wow, he's a bouncing baby boy. Then the preacher comes around to name the child and says, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift. They say, ah, sir, this one is not perfect too. By the time this one is age 4 or 5, he'll be showing the mother shaking. Yeah. This one that will pour all over the body very soon. Is that the perfect gift from God? And at age 8, 9, 10, 11, start lying and stealing something from school. Praise God. Are you quiet? Is there anyone here that did not lie? If you did not lie, are you ready? And you did not see anything from school. You did not see anything from school. You know, pick a pencil that is not your own. Those white erasers that they draw baby on. You knew your own as well. Just pick it. It's my own. Yes, that's one of them. It's my own. It's my own. Praise God. All of us, we did is my own. Knowing that it is not your own. Are we together? After a while, we started writing name. You write name on the paper, you slot it, it's like, they will still steal it. They will still steal it. We even remove the bottom. That whatever, write name, squeeze it, please. They will still steal it. Steal it. After a while, we still inscribe name on the, they will still scratch the name. And all of us are the same. Are we together? You know, so you call a new baby boy or a new baby girl, you know, what's the difference? No difference. Are we together? Someone gave birth, says, is it a boy or a girl? Say it's an hermaphrodite.
Nonsense. What kind of question is that? I find it one of the most silly questions to ask somebody that just gave birth. Is he a boy or a girl? Why do you have plans for it? Are we together? But it's okay, amen. You can ask out of, you know, it's fine, beautiful. Amen. God bless your heart. Stupid heads, amen. So look at that. You know, we call a new child, we say the good and perfect gift. But you know, that's not what the text is saying. Is it clear? When it says every good gift and every perfect gift, you know, it says it's from above and coming down. Now, did the baby come down? No. Are we together? Gone are those days where people think, oh, the baby's come down. I say, receive your child. Babies don't come down. Babies are here amongst us. Are we together? Babies are here amongst us. Am I right? Yeah. Babies live amongst men. Amen. Babies don't come down from, they don't come up from hell, and they don't come down from, don't say, you went to Satan to collect the child. It is not true. Satan don't give children. Are we together? He doesn't have a child. Are we together? Satan doesn't have a child. Satan doesn't have a wife. Amen? He doesn't have a child. Satan don't give children. But God deceive you to think that he gave you the child. But Satan does not give children. Amen? Children is with man. Are we together? Right. Are we there? Right. So it is, it comes from above. Now the word above there has to do with what is superior. What is superior? Just like you have in 1 Peter 1, when he says, in John chapter 3, when he says, except a man be born again. The word born again is the word genao anoten. Anoten has to do with above, born from above. Except a man be born from above. It's a different word from the born again in 1 Peter. The born again in 1 Peter 1 is anagenao. Anagenao. Now, genao is used for birth. That's where you have the word genetics. Is it clear? It's a Greek word. Genao. So that's where you have the word genetics. Genetics. So, genao anoten in John chapter 3, verse 5. Has to do with to be born from above. So when he says this good and perfect gift, he says is from above. It has to do with superiority. He now explains that above as from the Father of light. From the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I told you that the word good gift and perfect gift is not exactly as it comes out in the English. The word perfect gift simply implies the gift that perfects. It is the word dosis, then the word dorema. The first word gift is the word dosis. Every good gift, every good dosis. And dosis is not a noun, it's a verb. Dosis. So it should be translated every good giving. Are we together? Because dosis, if you check the Greeks, it occurs as a verb. Verb in English should not be gift. Gift in English is a noun or an adjective. But when you have verb, it's giving. So every good giving, are we together? Every good giving, then it says, and I mean, are we together? Perfecting gift. Is it clear? Every good giving, I mean perfecting gift. So dorema, which is the word gift, the second gift, the dorema there, has to do with the effect of the gift on the giver, or on the recipient rather. Every good gift and perfect gift. The first gift is dosis. The second gift is not dosis. It is not doria.
It is not charisma. Those are the different words for gift. It is the word dorema. And dorema has to do with the effect. The effect of something on the object. The object is the receiver. So every good giving, I mean perfecting gift. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Every good giving, amen, and perfect gift, he says, is from above. Then he says, he comes down from the Father of light. Look at this. He introduces fatherhood into the statement. He could have just said he comes from God. Are we together? He could have just said he comes from God. When he says the Father of light. So he's dealing with something, then he introduces fatherhood. Don't forget that the previous verse which you read, verse 14, he says, there's a temptation that lures away and causes deception. Then in 15, he says, it leads to death. If he mentions death, he now says, my beloved brethren, do not err. Every good giving, perfecting gift, he says, is from above, from the Father of lights. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no changeability in God. Look at 18. That is, there's no question as to what the gift is going to do to the giver. It's the same thing. Look at this. There is no question as to the effect of the gift on the giver, on the recipient, and there is no question as to the effect of the gift on the kind of recipient. Do you even get what I just said? The recipient does not affect what the gift does to them. Are we together? God does not is not partial. He is straight, he is direct. What he gives will do the same to all. No shadow of turning in him. There is no, oh, this is what you deserve, I'll give it to you. This is what you deserve, I'll give it to you in this context. I didn't say God doesn't reward people's works. I'm saying this is what the writer is saying in this context. And you go get it shopping. So he says, every good gift, every perfect gift from above comes from the Father of light. We don't mean no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 explains the gift. What is the gift in verse 18? Of his own will. So of his own will begat to us, he us. So go back to verse 17. One of 17 says again, every gift was given, right? I mean, perfecting what? Gift is from above, comes down from the Father of light. What is that gift? Verse 18. How that of his own will he did what? Begat to us. So what is the gift in verse 18? A car or the new birth? Thank you. Did you see that now? The new birth in Christ Jesus. Not a new child. The gift that is perfecting. The gift which perfects the recipient is not material gift. Does God give us material things? Yes, he does. Are we together? He meets our material needs. But that is not the perfecting gift. Amen? That is not the gift that perfects the recipient. The gift that perfects the recipient of the gift in this context is the new birth. Of his own will begat he us. So the new birth is the good gift and perfect gift which comes from above. The writer is talking about being born again. Are we there? Then he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. We're going to talk about that now, though that's not the right translation. You know, which is able to save your soul. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So what have we said? We saw a word in the Greek for the word hearers only. We saw which word is that again? Akrotis, right?
Okay? Which is used for someone who just observes, a mere observer. Say, when it comes to God's word, I'm not a mere observer. Hallelujah. So I told you, this guy, you know, does not hate the word. Do not be hearers only. He didn't say do not hear the word. He says do not stop at hearing. Amen. So we said, God wants his word to be that consistent inspiration of our life. Rather than living moments, don't forget, God wants me to live in his word. Notice the adjective I use, the preposition I use rather, in. God wants me to live in his word. Someone say living in the word. That's it. To live in the word. To live in the word. God wants me. Yeah, we've said to live by the word. God wants me to live in the word. A life in the word. It has to do with consistency. We said quite a number of things already, so I'll just move on. We said akrotis is an attitude of a fan. He goes to the stadium, he watches the match, that is all. He makes comments. He just makes comments. You have some folks go to viewing centers and make comments. Someone will be like, what the hell are you talking about? Amen. They talk about signing a player. The fellow even talk about as though he's the one. He says, I just signed Ronaldo. Oh God, if I knew him, I would not have signed this Salah. Is it, what's his name now? Oh, this guy's wasting my money, wasting my money. Which money? Which money are you talking about? Which money are you talking about? He said, yeah, I'm going to buy 10 players next season. I'm going to buy 3 players next season. You? Last time I checked your account, you didn't have enough to load a gigabyte of data. And you're talking about buying a player. He said, why did Mourinho sign the club? Oh, Mourinho should not have signed the club for me. He should not have signed that guy for me. No. Dan, you are just a fan. Praise the Lord. So it is when it comes to God's word, don't be a fan. Don't be a fan of the word. In church services, don't be a fan of the word. Are we together, church? So akrotis doesn't hate the word, so mix it. He doesn't hate the word. He hears the word. He sings the word. If we are singing, he sings the song, he sings the word. He likes the explanation of the scriptures. What else? Oh, when we use Greek words, he doesn't mind. He likes the sound of Greek words. He doesn't do the words. He doesn't hate the word, but he doesn't do the word. He doesn't hate the word, but he doesn't do the word. Are we together? God wants my life to be built on his word. He wants it such that in 10 years' time, my life should be a product of his word. In some 15 years, in some 20 years of being a student of God's word, my life becomes a product. Praise the Lord. And look at this.
and unadulterated products. Not an hybrid. God doesn't want my life to be an hybrid. What is an hybrid? An hybrid is where you put two complexes together to produce one. No, the world and the word. No, God's word alone. A pure breed. God wants my life to be a pure breed of His word, not an hybrid. The world and the word? Nope. The word alone. The word of God alone. That means my relationships and associations are products of the word. Hallelujah. My thought pattern. What about choices in life? My choices. The inspiration, the logic behind my choices in life. What path have you chosen in life? What kind of friends have you chosen to flock with? What kind of decisions have you made in your life? Because the life of a man is the product of his decisions. Does God's word inspire? Is God's word responsible for your decision? Then God's word will be responsible for the outcome of your life. That's what God wants. Don't forget Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Showed you. Yeah, you Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, with all your mind. You will love the Lord your God. I told you to love Him. Ahab in the Hebrew, H-A-H-A-B, Ahab. It has to do with prioritizing and committing yourself to something. It says you will commit yourself unto the Lord. That is by His word. Glory to God. Say, I'm committed to the Lord. I'm committed to the word. Say, I'm committed to the Lord. I'm committed to the word. That's it. God's word affecting my choices, my decisions, my ideologies, my thought patterns. I expose my thoughts to God's word. I expose my decisions to God's word. Before I go ahead, I expose my decisions to God's word. I listen to this teaching, listen to that teaching, listen to this teaching, criticizing, reproving my moves, reviewing my moves with the word of God before I go ahead. When you go ahead before you get to know what God's word wants, many times you don't get to retrace your steps. Because sometimes your ego will not allow you to. You have already shared testimony. You already shared testimony. Amen. You already shared testimony. So, God's word, my consistent inspiration. God's word, my consistent word. Inspiration. He wants me to live by His word day and night. As we saw, we asked some questions last session. We said, what does God want? We said, what does the word say? What is God saying now? What is God doing? We said, you must bear these four things on your heart. What does God want? What does the word say? What is God saying now? The second one is written. The third one is in your heart. What He is telling you. What is He doing? God wants me to see His word as my most prized information. And God wants me to see His word
as one that demands an action for me. God demands an action for me. Tell your neighbor, say, God demands an action for you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So James says, to not be a hearer only, but to be what? A doer of the word. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a doer of the word. So he says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The word glass there is the word mirror. To see your face in the mirror. Sure, Paul had the mirror in his days. Are we together? They had mirrors there. Is it clear? Right. They had mirrors. Amen. So he says, beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. So he said, the word of God to me is not a window. The word of God to me is a mirror. In a window, I look out. I just look out through the window. I just enjoy the sights. In fact, minutes after you've looked at the window, if they ask you what did you see, you might not even recount. Because your mind was, you know, it was an adventurous moment. You were having an adventure. Just look around, just see, just sometimes you don't even criticize. It's just looking. It's just a window. But the word of God to us ought to be a mirror. A mirror is something that when you look at, you see yourself. You see yourself. You see yourself. Your face as of birth. For he beholded himself and goeth his way. His own way. The word his way, the word idios. It means what you have crafted. His own way. His way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That means he has treated the world like a window. He has treated the world like a window. He says, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I checked the word forgetteth there. I found two words lumped together. I spell it EPILANCHANOMAI. I'll take it again. EPI, a P, then you have lantanomai. LANCHANOMAI. Lantanomai. EPI lantanomai. Now don't forget what a P is upon. It shows us there's a focus. Then you have the word lantano. I didn't say lambano. I said lantano. LANCHANO. Lantano. Lantano means to keep something away. To keep something away or to cover something away. Is used for neglecting something. Neglecting something. The Greek says lantano implies or epilantano means to refuse to consider it. To refuse to consider it. I have to check that word because when he says he straightaway forgetteth what manner of man he was, if you're not careful, you think he was talking about a memory loss. When you lose a memory, you lose a memory to forget. But that is not the word that was used. That's not the word that was used. I checked the word lantanomai or epilantanomai. I saw it in some texts. Just go over some. In Matthew 16, and verse 5. Matthew 16:5. He says, and when disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Okay.
It looks as though he's talking about memory loss. But when you look at the Ethiopian gentleman, it actually means they chose not to take the bread. They chose not to take the bread. They decided they were not going with the bread. So I think it was now rebuking them, warning them. They were like, is he rebuking us for leaving the bread? The bread we left now. Are we there? Yeah, multiply bread now. So it's refusing to consider something. That is, the fact is right before you, but you just choose something else. At the moment, something is better. Something is more important to you at the moment. Something at the moment. So, look at me. Epilantanomai has to do with the moment. At that moment, the information is there. But at that moment, amen. At that moment, are we together? Acrates, the information is there. The information is there. You know, sometimes in the office, I get to office and then, you know, I get the situation report and it says, oh, this and this and this and this and this. And based on the situation report I get, I just tell the manager there, I said, hey, we are not going to do this again, okay? Let's do this. Sometimes after 30 minutes, 1 hour, someone just walks in and says, hey, I need this. I say, hey, let's do it. It's not that I lost the memory of the situation report. In fact, you can be sure that while I am saying, let's do it, the situation report is telling me. So if the person had given me a look, I will remember that that's what the look is for. We just discussed the situation report. That's what the look is for. Sometimes without even mentioning it, by just looking at me, I know what you're thinking. Let's resolve this person. At the moment, the information is there. Look at me. What does that sound like to you? Is that compromise? Yes. Epilantanomai means to compromise conviction. To compromise conviction. Is for the moment. It's for the moment. So when he says, look at this. I want you to use your mind here. When he says, he that hears the word and doeth it not, is what? What's the word he used there? He says, is what? Likened. Right? Look at me. He said, is what? Likened unto what? A man that what? Buildeth his face in a what? In a natural what? In a glass, right? Right? His natural face in a what? In a glass. Goeth his what way? So let me ask you busy questions. Was there a mirror? No. Is liking, isn't it? So, was there a mirror? No. So, was there a going his way? Like somebody pick his bag and walked away? No. So, what is the going his way? It means making a choice. Is liking to. So, don't make what's literal figurative. And don't make what's figurative literal. Always translate it. So goeth his way is not that he walked the path. So the goeth his way is in his mind.
the journey occurred where? In the mind. He goeth his way. He is describing a journey, in a journey taken in the mind. Do you get it? Do you get it? So look at everyone. Acting on God's word occurs where? Or disobeying God's word is where? In the mind. See, it shows you how much power you have over disobedience. Hey, he's who I am. He's who I am. No. Tell your neighbor, say no. It tells you how much power you have over what? You actually wield power over disobedience. It's a journey. See, everything. See, I'm talking this way as though that's in mind. But everything is here. God is not involved. Satan is not involved. If God is involved, it is because what you have been offered to walk in is his word. If Satan is involved, it is because the opposition must have been a deposit of his. But at that moment, God is not involved. Satan is not involved. It is what? In the mind. So does that show you that if I can do a work in my mind, I can always obey God's word? Does that make sense to you? If I know what to do in my mind, I thought this session is going to be practical, right? We already saw the first session, the first series, and we're looking at the second one. So, if I know what to do in my mind, if I know what to do in my mind or with my mind, I can always act on the word. I can live by God's word if I will know how to undo my mind, what to do with my mind. So look at me. Is the mind powerful? Yes. See, you can actually give your mind power over your life. It can be that powerful. It can be that powerful. So look at this. So look at this. He says, let me give you some more text. Just a few more texts. Then we'll meet again next week. In Mark, let me see. Mark 8:14. Start the bread. If you get it before me, write it out. Yes, it's the bread. Luke 12:6. Is it the bread? If you get it before me, write it out. Okay, it's not the bread. Look at Luke 12:6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. He's not saying that God has memory loss, or God will not have memory loss of them. He's saying not one of them is disregarded. So there's no question as to whether God remembers or not. The question of this test is whether God acts on his memory or not. They say, no, no, no. God actually acts on his memory. So if this would be intentional. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Philippians 4, verse what? Okay. Look at verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which cause I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Can we do 13 together? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Now, when he says forgetting the things that are behind, doesn't mean memory loss or not considering them. Thank you. Not considering them. Amen. Amen. Not considering them. It's not memory loss, not considering them. In Hebrews 6, verse 10, okay. In Hebrews 6:10, but beloved, verse 9, we have persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we do speak. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards us. They mean that you have ministered to the saints and to the God is not righteous to not consider. There is no question as to memory loss with God, but the question is whether he will consider or he will not consider. He now even said no, he will consider it. So when we look at lanthanomai, it is not memory loss that we are dealing with. We are dealing with considering it. Allowing it to affect you. Demonstrating at the moment that you have a knowledge. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So, I will demonstrate at the moment that I have the knowledge of walking in love. I have the knowledge. I will show it at the moment. I have the knowledge. When somebody does something, to me, and then in my mind I'm like, see, all of those that's exactly what I think. Very considerate. Amen. Ready what? Why will he talk to me like that? Why will he talk to me like that? Why will he talk to me like that? No. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to let this slide. See, why will he talk to me like that? I'm not going to let this slide. I'm not going to let this slide. I'm not going to let this slide. Why will he talk to me like that? That is epilantanoma. You choose to not consider this fact. Are we together? You are choosing to not what? Consider the truth of God's word. That's forgetting it. You get it? So, to not act on it. If I was going to act on this, I will not do this. So, but this is what I want to do. So I will not act on that one. So not acting on that one because of what I want to do is epilantanomai. So it doesn't mean you didn't remember. It simply means You did not consider it. That is acrotis. That is acrotis. In Hebrews 6 verse 10, he says, God is not unrighteous to forget. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Consider it. Do it.
You just say, I know. Do it.
Do what you know. In chapter 13, verse 16, it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Consider it. Do it. Christianity is for doers of the word of God. Christians are those who do the word. So, epilantanomai does not mean to keep in mind. It means to be diligent to act on it. To be diligent to act on it. So, epilantanomai is to refuse to act on it. It is on your mind. You know. Tell your neighbor, say, you know. Not that, and I forgot that text too. Oh, so the work is in my mind. Oh, so I have the love of God in my heart. I forgot. I thought God was going to give me love. So the love of God is in my heart. It's a lie. You knew. You knew you have the love of God. You also knew how to act on the love of God. You knew acting on love of God is that you will not respond. Are we together? You're driving by, someone said, or born here. Or born here. The person is driving, you both are driving. But somehow, before the person that is driving, before the length of his car drove off the length of your car, before that sliding finished, you managed to wind down, thought it, and responded and said, and he had. How did you do it? It's not that he drove for 1 second first. It's not that his car is skipping. You know our CDs in those days that used to skip. Crack, crack, crack. It's not that his car is skipping. He drove by, but before he drove off, 2 seconds, you have wind down. You have done the work of 10 minutes. You have taught it. You have rightly presented it. You have delivered the message. You are not looking at him in the side mirror whether he will turn back. Because you knew he got it. Are we together? You knew that to walk in love means to be quiet. Yeah. Are we together? Husband and wife. See, I will beat you. What? It says, husbands, do what? Love your wife. Are we together? As Christ did what? Love the church. How many times has Jesus come and said, Anyone like me? Monkey of me. Are we together?
Praise the Lord.
He says to submit one to another. He says to not murmur. He says to not grumble. He says to give. He says to walk in the light. He says to walk in the spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, you know. So epilantanomai means to not consider it. To not consider. Say, I consider the word. Epilantanomai means to not be moved. Say, the word of God moves me. That means, look at it. There are times when you want to do something, you're like, I walk in the word. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Say, I walk in the word. Say, I walk in the word. Say, I walk in the word. Hallelujah. It means to be bothered, or to not be bothered, rather, by something that has been done or said. To not be bothered. Say, God's word bothers me. So look at that. He says, straight away, he forgets what manner of man he was. So did he see himself in the word? Yes. He sees himself in the word, but he refuses to consider what the word of God has shown him about himself. I'm who the word says I am. I do what the word says I can do. I'm who the word says I am. I'm what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. God's word says that you are generous. Look at this. God knows that there are times when in your account, what you have might not be enough for your next meal. God knows that there are times that in your account, what you have might not be enough for the month. Yet God's word looks at you and says, you are a generous person. That is why we say you are not too poor to give to the things of God. We are not saying that based on what you have per time. We are saying that because of the nature. And there's no one that can tell about the child than the mother. And God's word is described as the mother. I'm what the word says I am. You know, we have a song. I'm what the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. And I'm good by His Spirit. I'm what the word says. Hallelujah. So look at that. Let me close here. Are we together? So he says, forget what manner of man he was. Then, but whosoever looks into the law of perfect liberty. Now, there's another word. He says, in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not ye as only deceiving your own selves. Yes. We come across that word several times. I won't spend time on it. Paralogizomai. Paralogizomai. Deceiving. That's the word paralogizomai. Para, P-A-R-A. Then you have logizo or logizo. Logizomai. Which is from logic. What is logica? Paralogizomai. We see in Colossians 2 verse 4, that word, in Colossians 2 and verse 4, it says, as you therefore have received Christ, in 4, and this I say, is a lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. The word beguile, deceive, to lead astray. Deceiving your own self. He now says that you are the one doing it to yourself. God is not there, Satan is not there.
God is not there, Satan is not there. So you hear believers say, Irugbe Osho Ojale Kro. There is no Irugbe Osho there. You are a disobedient person. Irugbe Lebo Logu is a lie. I can tell you that because I spent many years praying that prayer. Oh God. Irugbe Aje, Irugbe Osho, Irugbe Lebo Logu. He's a lie. You are born of the world. Every good gift and everybody. You don't understand that text because you have used that text to talk about school fees and all that. Praise the Lord. Deceiving your own self. Deceiving your own selves. So you see that word used one more time. Aside from James 1, it was used in Colossians 2, verse 4. To lead astray. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. Why then will I hear the word of God? Why will I hear so much of the word and I'm not considering it? Why? Why? That's where I want to close. Why? Why? Why is my disciple hearing the word and is not considering? Why am I talking to this fellow about the benefit of spiritual growth and being in the good local assembly and taking the word of God at the face of it and acting on the word and filling your heart with the word and having your devotional, your time, a quiet moment in the day and being in the service and taking serving God seriously, and this fellow is not giving attention to the word, and I'm taking hours upon hours in the week, and the fellow is in service, and the person has listened to all the teachings that we've had, all the series, he has listened to it, no fruit. Why? 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 In James 1, it gives us an answer. In verse 21, I want us to read together. Wherefore, lay apart all what? Filthiness. And superfluity of what? Naughtiness. And receive with what? Meekness. With engrafted word. That's what James is saying. James is saying, he calls it filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. This is not sin. Are we together? This is not sin. But it speaks of things in the mind that negate the word. Look at the Bible of the soul on Thursday, coming week. There are things in the mind. Oh. There are things in the mind. There are things in your mind. There are things in your mind. Ask your neighbor, say, are there things in your mind? I think you should ask your neighbor. Some of you are asking yourselves, hey, how will you answer the question? Yes. You are going to say, answer? Yes. Ask your neighbor, say, what are the things on your mind? So look at me. Look at me. Look at me. What are the things on your mind? Notice what James said. James said, lay aside all what? Filthiness. And what? Superfluity of what? And what? Oh. So there are things I ought to do before I hear the word. Before. Maybe what you have been focusing on the things you should do now that you have heard the word. James is saying there are things to do before. Someone say before the word.
What does before the word mean? Is that before the service? 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 Good.
Notice what Paul said. Let me give you the text and close. Second Corinthians 4. Quickly, open to everybody. Second Corinthians 4.
Someone say before the word. Someone say before the word. Someone say before the word.
Before the word. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Can we take verse 3 together? I want to go. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? That are lost. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded what? The minds of them, which believe not what? Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should do what? To shine. Wait, so let me ask you a question. From what you have read, which one preceded the word? Or which one came first? The word or the blindness? Which one came first to them? The word or the blindness? Answer the question. The word came to them or the blindness? The what? The blindness. So, the blindness is like a layer covering their mind, that when the word of God comes, the light could not what? Touch their heart. It's like you are protecting something from, like you are under the shade, so that the sun does not touch your screen. Your skin, rather. The sun doesn't touch your skin. Like under the shade of a tree. So, there is a covering. There's a covering that prevents the light of the word from touching the fabrics of their hearts, their minds. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So, look at that. That means when it says that the God of this world has blinded their mind, that means Satan's craftiness, part of Satan's craftiness, look at me everybody, is that Satan loves to go before you. See, Satan does his evangelism before you. Obviously, by saying that he has blinded their minds, it shows that that's an information. It has information. So Satan goes before the herald of the message of Christ. He is a swift evangelist. A very swift evangelist. Who does not play according to the rules. He doesn't sleep. And he has many evangelists that are evangelizing for him without knowing. Are we together? That's Satan. He's very fast. Very fast. Very fast. So he pulls the information out before the gospel comes. Before the gospel comes. Before the gospel comes. Before the gospel comes. So look at this. James is saying that in your heart, in your mind rather, there are things there that when the word of God comes, according to the parable of the sower which we are going to see, they choke the word. Glory to God forevermore. According to the parable of the sower, they choke the word. They make the world to be unfruitful. So, that shows you and I that the guy that does not do the word is actually doing something else. He's doing something else. That's the explanation of epilantanoma. That the way you didn't consider the word, you considered something. You are acting on something.
When you don't act on the word, you are acting on something. It's not neutral. The moment you didn't act on the word, you are acting on something. You are acting on something. So I'll close here. Are we together? You are acting on something. You are acting on something. You are acting on something. You are always acting on something. Always in your life. Only that there are times when it is not the word. There are times when it is on the word. There are times when it is not the word. There are times when what you are acting on is what? Is what? Before me. Are we together? Tell your neighbor, say, you are always acting on something. No period is a vacuum. No moment is empty. You are always acting on something. Did you see that? Did you see that? You are always what? Acting on something. Well, hey! God wants you to act on the word all the time. That is the only way it's going to be glorified. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Act on the word all the time. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life currently. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're struggling with, what you're walking towards. Is it clear? That is where we're going. Acting on the word all the time. But pastor, he did not act on the word. She did not act on the word. That's why I did what I did. That's why I said what I said. He did not. You act. Yeah, what he did was wrong. What she did was wrong. But was it out of your power to act on the word? It is within your words, within your power. Act on the word. Act on the word. Act on the word when you're alone. Act on the word when people are there. Act on the word when you're leading. Act on the word when you are taking a following position. Act on the word when you're taking the leading position. Act on the word before the great moment comes. Act on the word before your need is met. Act on the word after the need is met. Act on the word before resources come to you. Act on the word when there is abundance of it. Act on the word when you are not feeling well, in ill health. Act on the word when you are now healed. Act on the word before you get the job. Act on the word now that you've gotten the job. Act on the word before you get married. Act on the word now that you've gotten married. Before kids come around, you act on the word. Now that you have plenty of kids, act on the word. Act on the word before you get into marital relationships. In the marital relationship, act on the word. Act on the word. Act on the word. Act on the word. I told you that when God's word comes to us as instructions, the very first thing that must occur to you is that it is possible. It is possible to act on the word. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Hallelujah. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your soul. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your mind. He says in Joshua 1, which we have read, I continue from that text next week. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. He says in Psalm 1, he says, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, delight in the law of God. He meditate therein day and night. Hallelujah. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season. He says, his leaves does not wither. Everything that he doeth shall prosper. Say, act on the word.
So when you are not acting on the word, you are acting on something. He says to lay it aside. We're going to see next week. To lay it aside. To lay aside all filthiness. It means there are things to do before I receive God's word. There are some things to do after I receive God's word. There are some things to do while I'm receiving God's word. Because we're going to look at that teaching next time. And learning properly what to do before, during, and after you've had the word. Are we together, church? So look at this. God wants you to act on the word. In the good moments of life, at the not so good moments of life, when resources are scarce, when resources are now blessed, act on the word. I'm born of God. I'm born of the word. I'm born of the word. I'm born of the word. So look at this. Every time I hear God's word, there's a battle of priorities. What to consider? I give the battle over to the word to win at all times. That is why we pray. We pray in the spirit. We pray. We pray. We pray. That is why when you wake up in the morning, you spend time praying. You wash your soul off. You read it off. Infirmities. You read it off. Impurities. You read it off. Filthiness, which has come to you across the day through the course of the previous day. You read it off. It comes to you on the media. It comes to your conversation. It comes to you. It comes to you all around you. It comes. You read it off. You wash it away. Are we together? You do that cycle over and over. You're preparing your heart before you hear the word. If you do not do that, it culminates towards hinders the word of God and makes you to be unfruitful in your Christian life. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we are leading fruitful lives. In the name of Jesus. One last believers come to church. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we are raising men and women who are victorious in your Christian life, against the wiles of the age, against the worldliness of the age, against the impurities, the filthiness of the age, against the temptations of the age, against the worldliness, the spirit of the age that flies round about. We trust God about the power of the Holy Ghost. We are living victorious lives. Hallelujah. Pray the Holy Ghost for ourselves tonight. Pray for ourselves tonight. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. That you have victory. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. That you have victory. And your disciples have victory. And your leaders have victory. And your unit members, they have victory. And your cell members, they have victory. And your cell leader has victory. And your unit leader has victory. Pray for yourself tonight. Pray for yourself tonight. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Commit yourself to the Lord again tonight. I ask of the world. Raise men and women acting on the word. It is not difficult. I am wise by the Spirit of God. Daily.